Deuteronomy chapter 31, we're going to go down to verse number 7. If you found it, if you would stand with me for the reading of the Bible, give you a chance to stretch your legs. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel," would you read that next clause with me up to the colon, ready? "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed." Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests of the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders. I want to bump back up to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7. "Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel," would you read that clause with me again? Ready? "Be strong and of a good courage." And let's pray. Dear Lord, I do pray be with us. God, I do thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your blessings you bestow upon us. Thank you, God, for your grace that sustains us in every trial and every difficulty of life. Lord, I pray you would meet with us now tonight. Holy Spirit, I pray you would guide my mind, guide my heart, guide my mouth. I pray you would flow from the pages of this book into my heart as you did during my time with you. And Holy Spirit, I pray you would challenge in the people here tonight. Encourage us, I pray, in your name. Amen. You may be seated. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, we see Moses giving his final instruction. You may be familiar with Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, where it reads, "The old men shall dream dreams, and the young men shall see visions." That's really what's happening here in Deuteronomy. Those who have taken my Old Testament survey course, there's a few of you in here. We know that Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, teaches us first lessons from the past, commandments from the present, options affecting the future, and then Moses is giving his final charge. You remember that, right, Matt? All right, good. Moses is here, an old man. He's reminded the people of everything that's happened to them and their progress through the wilderness. And now here you are, you're getting ready to go. But then he pauses from speaking to the people and challenging the people and reminding the people to give Joshua a little bit of instruction. For you see, Moses, as the old man, was not going to be able to go into the promised land. You may remember that he got angry and smote that rock twice, and he was not going to be able to enter into the promised land. But God needed a leader. God needed somebody who would take the people and bring them over with them. He needed a leader. Joshua would be that man. But Joshua didn't think he had it in himself. Joshua was simply Moses' servant, simply his attendant. Who am I, he would say, to lead this great, vast people? God knew that Joshua would need some encouragement, for twice he tells Moses, encourage him, for he shall. He shall what? I don't know what all of my students shall do, but I believe all of my students shall do something great for God. My three children, age 9, 7, and 5, who are at home now, I believe that they shall do something. What? I don't know. But I want to encourage them to do whatever God wants them to do. I believe that God has a plan for their life, as God does for each of us. We ought to be encouraging each other. Why? For we shall. We shall what? I'm not sure yet, but we shall. Here, Moses is giving his vision. Moses is giving his dream to the young Joshua. A dream is what you have for others. A vision is what you have for yourself. In Acts 13:36, David served his own generation. Each generation has a vision for themselves, but ought to have a vision, a dream for the next. Skip over, if you would, to Joshua chapter 1. As we get to Joshua chapter 1, now God is speaking to Joshua. Joshua, again, is needing encouragement of the Lord. And in verse number 1, we see, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." He goes on and he begins to encourage Joshua about what's going to happen. He says in verse number 6, again, "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers, Again in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Oh, then we get these famous verses. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Here we go again. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I've heard multiplied sermons on Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. But as I was reading this several years ago, it occurred to me there's an awful lot of encouragement here to Joshua. We pick out verse number 8, and we often look at that, and we look at God's promise of prosperous and good success. But I also see in there now three times personally God has said, now Joshua, be strong. Joshua, you're going to have to endure some things. Joshua, don't quit. Joshua, be strong. Joshua, have good courage. I look at Joshua's life. For God had promised him success, did he not?
Right.
Joshua crosses an impassable river. And then he looks at the walls of Jericho, which he is told to march around 7 times. Sure. Okay, God, we'll trust you by faith. Wow, look at what God can do. But then we see the failure in the battle of Ai. Next, Joshua goes to war against 5 kings of the Amorites. He then slays Makeda and Libna and Lachish and Gezer and Eglon and Hebron and Debir, all these different nations. We skip ahead to Joshua chapter 10 and verse number 40. And there we read, so Joshua smote all the country of the hills and of the south and of the vale and of the springs and all their kings. He left nothing remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded. Joshua had a lot of battles to fight. If you keep looking in Joshua chapter 11 and Joshua chapter 12, it goes through king after king after king that Joshua had to go to war against. I've talked to some soldiers. I've never been in war. I've studied it in teaching history. I've talked to some soldiers who have come back, and I'll be honest, none of them have ever described it as something that was enjoyable. No soldier who has ever seen combat that I've talked to has ever described it as something that was pleasant or enjoyable. Rather, they have many other descriptions for them. In Joshua chapter 11 and 12, he smites 38 kings. 38 nations he has to go to war against. Today, America is at war against 3, 4. Tough thing war is. 38 nations he has to destroy. Boy, you think, wow, okay, God, I did my part. I have slain 38 different nations. We have conquered them. Hand-to-hand combat. God, I've done my part. I'm an old man. You'd think now it's retirement time. Joshua chapter 13, verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. Would you read the rest of the verse with me? Ready? And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Are you kidding me? Have you ever worked a long day? I remember growing up, I worked the cornfields. 4 summers I spent, six summers I spent in the cornfields. We were driving up and I called my wife. I said, honey, it's beautiful. Nothing but corn, corn, and more corn. She said, you're crazy. I said, I know it. You ever been out in a cornfield? And you've been working all day long and you look and there's so much more left to go? I have. Here's Joshua. God, I've been fighting. God, I've served. God, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. God, I've given it my all for all of my life. God, surely now, God says, no, Joshua, get up and fight some more. battle after battle after battle after battle after battle. You know what we find? We find that the Christian life, honestly, is not all warm and fuzzies. It's really, quite honestly, it's not all peaches and cream. It's not all luxury and ease. Sometimes there's hardship, isn't there? You know, I find that we as Christians oftentimes, we want the life of Joseph the vizier, second in command of Egypt. But we don't want the pit that he was thrown in, or the betrayal of his brothers, the time in slavery, being lied about, thrown into prison and forgotten. You know what I find? I find in order for God to give us victory, we have to be in battle. I remember many years ago, I lived in North Carolina about 10 years ago. I remember praying to God and saying, God, I want to learn to live by faith. God, I pretty much had everything supplied for me all my life. And God, I want you to teach me how to live by faith. You know what happened? We had the opportunity to live by faith. There was a split in the church. County of 2,500 people where everyone was related. We had the opportunity to live by faith. I had to learn to like squash. Praise the Lord. You know what I found out? In order for God to give us a victory, we have to be in the battle. Moses said, Joshua, I've got a dream for you. I want you to catch it. I want you to get a vision of what God can do for you. God promises you success, but success is not found by how thick your wall it is. God's success isn't measured in what wraps up in a little piece of leather. God's success is, have you done what he's called you to do? God's success is, have you done today what he's asked you to do? Did you live for God today? That's God's measure of success. I remember I was living in Ohio many years ago. My pastor read this little article. I asked him for it. He gave me a copy. It reads, I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word of God are my weapons of warfare. I've been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army. I'm enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army, but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or be pushed out. When my God needs me, I'm there. If he needs me in Sunday school to teach children or to work with youth or to help with adults or to just sit and learn, he can use me because I'm there. If he needs me in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival or special service, I'm there. I'm there to preach, sing, play, pray, work, worship. God can use me because I'm there. I'm a soldier. I'm not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, picked up, or pepped up. I'm a soldier. I'm not a wimp. I'm in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, card, candy, or give me handouts. I don't need to be coddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I'm committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. For when Jesus called me into his ministry, I had nothing. If I end up with the same, I'll still be even. I will win. God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I am more than a conqueror. I will be triumphant. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me to captain and bring me back to rule this world with him. I'm a soldier in the army of God, and I am marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I'm a soldier marching heaven-bound. Here I stand. Moses was challenging young Joshua, challenging him to be a soldier in the army of God. Joshua got a hold of this vision. What was his vision? His vision, number one, was to take land that was held by the enemy. Joshua had a vision to take land that was held by the territory, by the enemy. Today, Satan controls the majority of this population, doesn't he? We see his work on every hand. We see it in the billboards. We see it in the television. We see it. We hear it on the radio. We see it in magazines, even as we just go to check out at the Walmart or at the grocery store. We see the devil's work everywhere, don't we? We see him on our bus routes. We see him as we make visits. We see him as we work to help people pick their life back up. We see it at work, don't we? We need some soldiers today who will fight against the enemy. We need some soldiers who are willing to take their old two-edged sword and reclaim some lives of those that are held by Satan. We need some people who are willing to give God their all. You see, Satan is an evil dictator with multiplied billions held in his concentration camps. He is abusing them. He is destroying them, giving them nothing but a life of absolute misery. He is an evil tyrant, awaiting his time to bring their eternal destruction and hellfire. Christian, may I challenge you, as Moses challenged Joshua, to get a vision of liberating those who are facing Satan's torments. May I challenge you, as Moses challenged Joshua, to get a vision to reclaim some of the land that's held by Satan. Let me challenge you to rescue the many, many that are in danger of hell's fires. Let me challenge you to get busy in winning souls, visitors in church, growing in Bible knowledge, taking out your New Testament, be it at work, be it at the grocery, be it in their street, and sharing it with others. We need so many forts. Oh, we're busy at Commonwealth Baptist College training people for the ministry, but honestly, we need more bastions of Christianity than what one Bible college or two Bible colleges or 10 Bible colleges can produce. There needs to be a citadel of Christianity on your street. The street that you live on needs a citadel of Christianity. When my wife and I moved to our new home, we've been there 5 years now in that home. We decided that our street was going to be our mission. We decided that we would proclaim the name of Christ from our home. We've been able to see two families come to know Christ as Savior. My son has gotten in on it. Three young boys that he plays with on his baseball on the street, they've gotten saved. One of them sat down and said, "Mark, I wish I could be your brother." My 9-year-old son said, "You can in Christ." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Hold on." Went in and got a gospel tract. Came out and said, "See, now you're..." And he led him through the plan of salvation. He said, "Now you're my brother."
Hey.
He started. My son started telling him about heaven, what heaven was going to be like. Jeb looked at Mark and he said, "Mark, you think they have kickball in heaven?" We need some citadels of Christianity on your street. Your neighbors, the people you work with, someone needs to share with them the gospel. But doing so is hard. Doing so is difficult. When you begin to witness, you begin to share the gospel, sure enough, the devil fights, doesn't he? Some of you have experienced that, no doubt. There's difficulties, there's hardships, but even as I press forward in the Christian life, as I've been challenged to give more in the offering plate and to go above my tithe or to do a faith promise, boy, I look at my budget and I say, how in the world is that going to work? And I just don't understand it. Or as you begin to try to give more time to a visitation or to a church program or to helping out, you say, boy, difficulties come and there's a fight. Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Remember, we're soldiers in the army of our Lord. Joshua had a vision of rescuing POWs that were held by the enemy. Remember the story of Abraham when his nephew Lot was taken by the enemy? He forsook all to go rescue that one who had been taken by the enemy. You remember when David had been gone at war? And his men and his own wife had been taken captive. They went and they sought after the enemy. I believe we need some Christians who have a vision of rescuing some POWs who have been held by the enemy. Who are they? They are Christians across this country, across this state, maybe even across this county, who have fallen. Satan's deceived them. They fell into sin. Their life is in shambles. Satan keeps lying to them. You can't go back to church. Satan keeps lying to them. People will make fun of you. Satan keeps lying to them. We need some special force service men, service women, who are willing to go to those Christians who have been taken by the enemy and being held in bondage of mind, bondage of sin, and work to release them from the devil's arms. There are some teenagers who have fallen into sin. There are adults who have fallen into sin. They need a youth worker. They need pastors. They need Sunday school teachers who will love, who will care, who will weep, who will cry to go out and help them. My students know there's a song that holds a special place in my heart, written by some old friends of mine from years gone by, called Somebody's Brother. The chorus says it's somebody's brother, somebody's son, who's weary and broken, but the battle's far from done. Will you weep? Will you cry? Will you join us in prayer? Because you see, somebody's brother just simply needs someone who will care. See, for a number of years in high school, I was that brother. I just decided I wouldn't have anything to do with God, and I'd be a stupid punk. I was an idiot, and I was a punk. I was a rebel just for the sake of not wanting to do what God wanted me to do, and my life was absolutely miserable. My sister, my brother, my mom, my dad, they cried and they prayed for me. I had school teachers who cried and prayed for me. I had a principal who cried and prayed for me by the hour. I had a youth pastor who cried and prayed for me by the hour. I had a coach who cried and prayed for me by the hour. And by God's grace, God woke me up. God needs Christians all over every county in this state, in this country. He needs Christians who are willing to sacrifice their time in prayer and weeping and crying and begging for that one who, for whatever reason, has been deceived by the dirty old devil and is now being held bound in the depths of despair, of sin. God needs somebody who's willing to go to them and love them and care for them and weep over them and cry over them and pray them back into church. We need to go to the fallen. So, yes, they've made a mistake. Yes, Satan's deceived them. Yes, they're reaping what they've sown. But yes, I can look to the Bible and find forgiveness. Yes, I can look to the Bible and find restoration. We need to restore relationships and rebuild lives. Oh, if we could just get a vision for rescuing POWs that are held by the enemy. Joshua had a vision of taking territory. We ought to win souls. Joshua had a vision of rescuing POWs. We ought to go to those that are fallen. Joshua had a vision. He had a dream for others to get a vision. Go with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 18. Joshua chapter 18, verse 1. The whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Turn, if you would, to Joshua chapter 24. Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Joshua had a vision. The people came to him and they said, Joshua, we've been fighting with you for a long time. Joshua, we've been battling with you, and other people have their land, but Joshua, where's ours? Where's the blessing that God's promised us? We've seen God bless the other tribes, and the other tribes have gotten their land, but where's the blessing that we're supposed to have? Joshua looks at them, and you can see him just begging the people, don't you understand? You need to continue to press forward in faith. Yes, these other people, their answer of faith has already come. But don't let that discourage you. You continue pressing forward in faith. Joshua had been given a vision from his leader, Moses. Moses had said, Joshua, be strong and of good courage. You can do it, Joshua. And Joshua took that dream of his leader, and he made it his own vision. And now that he had this vision, he's giving it to others and saying, don't stop here. Come on, press forward. I know that it's going to be hard. I know there's going to be battles along the way. But let me tell you what God told me. Be strong and of a good courage. Go forward and fight. go possess the land. Yes, you're in a battle. Yes, you're in turmoil. Yes, you're in hardship. But God's got something for you. Press forward in faith. You'll see it through. And you've seen other people see it through. It ought to serve to you as an example. Come on, get the vision. Go forward and see what God has for you. Joshua has a vision of other people having a vision to do something great for God. You know what we need? We need Christians that are in church, who have been in church for a very long time, to have a vision of somebody else having a vision for somebody else. You know what it means? It means I, as a Sunday school teacher of fifth grade boys, I need to have a vision that the boys in my fifth grade Sunday school class one day will be teaching a fifth grade Sunday school class to boys, trying to get them to have a vision of helping others. Do you see how it goes? We need to have a vision of helping others to the point that they can help others. We need to have a vision of what God's going to do in our life. Boy, I look at brother so-and-so, I look at sister so-and-so, and I see what God's done in their life. What a blessing. What a testimony. I was talking to Brother Clanny just a little bit ago on the way up here. He was telling me how he quit his job at Sears to come up and work here, and how his boss said, laughed at him and said, "Oh, you'll never make it." And he said, "You don't know the God I know." Amen. He was an example. Just a few weeks ago, another student finished college. And he told his boss at Sears, "I quit." He said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to live by faith." He said, he laughed and said, "You know what's going to happen to you?" He said, "You don't know the God I know." He saw Brother Clanny do it. He saw God come through for Brother Clanny. He's expecting God to come through for him too. You know what we need to do? We need to have a vision of helping other people get to the point of being able to help other people. We need to begin growing. We need to begin helping other people grow. Have a vision, have a dream for others. Begin teaching some who will do something great. I believe that the students that sit in my classroom are going to go do something great for God. I tell them at the end of every school year, I say, "You're leaving here. I beg of you, God can use you. You go do something 10 times greater than I've ever done. God will use you." I'm not worried about who's greater than who. I want my students, I believe God's going to use them to do something tremendous. Have a vision of one of your Sunday school kids, one of your bus kids. Have a vision of one of them leading a church, leading a church group, leading a choir, teaching a class. Have a vision of your neighbor coming to church and becoming a Sunday school teacher. Have a vision of the person you work with. You work side by side with in the factory all day long, or wherever it is that you work. Have a vision of that one going out soul winning on your Thursday night soul winning or your soul winning program here at the church. Have a vision of your convert reaching other converts. Have a vision, have a vision of what God can do through those you're helping. Have a vision of having a dream for others to have a vision of taking territory held by the enemy. Have a vision of having a dream for another to have a vision of rescuing POWs, discipling, training people for the ministry. My pastor read this line. He said, "I'm a soldier. I'm committed. I will win. I'm not a baby. My God needs me. I'm there." There are many Medal of Honor winners in this army of our God. There are many Medal of Honor winners who have started churches as this one and built it and pastored and loved and cared for people and given themselves completely. And maybe one day when we stand before God and as His soldiers in His army, He'll be giving them a Medal of Honor. Some will say, some of these soldiers are still in active duty. Others have been called to the heavenly home front. I think of my pastor growing up, Brother Hiles. Think of the old fundamentalist leader, Dr. Norris, Brother Rice, Brother Roloff. So many of the others, the old Gypsy Smith, Mordecai Ham, R.A. Torrey, Dr. Lee Robertson. You know, they served their generation. We need other soldiers who will serve ours. You know what I decided? I decided to be a soldier in the army of my God. I've read of the great revivals of years gone by. I teach them in class. I love to read about them. I've read about the great evangelists. I've read about the things that happened even in my home church growing up, and just, wow, I can't believe what God would do. I read about churches and I see revivals happening in small towns all over the country even now. And you say, wow, I can't believe what God's doing. I just decided some years ago that I'm not content to just sit and read stories about what other people have done. I want God to do something with my life. And if that means teaching a fifth grade Sunday school class to the point that those fifth graders will grow up and love and serve and honor God and teach other fifth graders, how blessed I would be. Brother Jorgensen, you expect to be a Medal of Honor winner? Oh no, I'm just a lowly private in this army. That's all I am. I'm just a lowly private in this army, but I'm here. I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve my general, my God. So I'll pick up my weapon. And I'll enter the fray. God's promised us success. He promised Joshua he'd be prosperous. As I read Joshua's life, it doesn't seem like what I, as a modern-day American, would call prosperity. Battle after battle after battle after battle. As a Christian, I'll pick up my weapon and I'll enter into that fray. But that means you're going to have some difficulty in life. It might mean some hardship. It might mean some trouble. It might mean that you have to fall on your knees before God in order to have a meal tomorrow. But praise God, I know He's big enough. I know He's there. I know He'll provide. We need some soldiers who are willing to face some hardship. He said, I'm a soldier in the army of my God. I'll not give up. I'll not turn around. I'm a soldier marching heaven bound. Marching heaven bound to reclaim lives being held by Satan. Marching as I march heaven bound, rescue POWs, Christians who have fallen in sin. As I march heaven bound, marching, having a dream for others, to get a vision, to do something for God. Here I stand. Lord, I do pray you be with us tonight. God, I believe how we need you. God, how I ask you to do a work in our heart. Challenge us to go and help those who are lost and looking for salvation. Saul of Tarsus was praying. Ananias said, God, surely not him. God answered Ananias, behold, he prayeth for salvation. There are those looking. God, help us to have a vision to help others. I pray in your name, amen.